Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Constantine Brandopoulou, and with me as always, Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist at Options Play. Tony, I'm excited to see you. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. A big shift in terms of equity trends from last week. So excited to dive into that today.
Yes, Tony, a big shift indeed. I mean, we've had an absolute great opportunity, I think, to talk to our clients and viewers, of course, through the last couple of weeks. We've had some extreme volatility back and forth and risk assets in general. You've done a great job in laying out some key technical levels in the S&P 500 to be paying attention to, many of which got tested. Here we are a week later after last week's show, exactly 1 week later, and the market now with today's move is up more than 4% since 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time last week. We are through a very key level that you've identified previously as initially support, should have been acting as a level of resistance at around 54.50. We're through that zone right now. I'm curious if you can put it all in context for us. I'm sure viewers are curious where we are, how do we get here, and where we potentially are going.
Yeah, thank you so much. Now, before we dive into the technical levels, I do want to take a step back and think through kind of the macro changes that we have experienced over the past week or so. You know, all eyes this week were on inflation, whether or not that PPI and CPI print was going to show any type of concerns around whether inflation was still kind of an issue or not. And largely, both of those numbers came in line with expectations, which largely solidifies a rate cut here for September. What's interesting is that right now, the markets are only pricing in 25 basis points of cuts for that September meeting. They're still pricing in at this point about 100 basis points of cuts for the rest of the year. But right now, the Fed has effectively shifted its focus away from inflation and more so towards the labor market. You know, the July unemployment number that really spooked markets here a couple of weeks ago is really what investors are paying attention to right now. There's a lot of scrutiny on jobless claims every single week and seeing if that is showing some signs of unemployment ticking up higher. Last week, obviously, jobless claims came in better than expected, and that was why we saw a strong rally on the back of that. And so far, I think this week we're off to a good start. You know, looking at those, some of those technical levels that you were talking about, 5450 was the major support level that you and I talked about a few weeks ago that bulls needed to hold in order for bull markets to continue. We obviously had that broken pretty substantially to the downside on the back of that July unemployment number. We tested 5100 to the downside and very quickly bounced off of that. And between the jobless claims numbers last week and the retail sales numbers today, we've now, you know, retraced back to that 5450 level that was prior support that was now going to be resistance. And, you know, as what's interesting is that as we approach that 5450 level, momentum really slowed down and there was a look, it looked like we were about to roll over and maybe retest 5100. But the retail sales numbers this morning came out way better than expected. It really kind of gave a lot of confidence for investors that U.S. consumers remain extremely resilient, incredibly resilient, surprisingly resilient, that now we're well above 5450. And now I would say bulls have control back of the markets. You know, I really didn't think we'd be back to where we are so quickly given where we were last week. But, you know, that's where the charts are telling us that bulls have managed to regain back control. We see small caps up 3% here today. You have equal weight up, you know, roughly 1.25%, really speaking to the fact that the rally here is fairly broad and you're seeing catch up from value names as well. So overall, we have what seems like a picture that is quite bullish for the equity markets right now.
Yes, absolutely, Tony. Thank you for that. You know, thank you for the context. It's very important for our viewers, of course. Keeping that context in mind, I'm wondering what your first trade idea of the week is.
Yeah, I want to take a look at Shopify. You know, a few weeks ago, I laid out a bearish case for Amazon because Amazon has really been taking some shots at sellers and haven't been particularly favorable in terms of the terms that they've recently laid out for sellers. And a net beneficiary of that actually has been Shopify for many years now. And recently, earnings momentum has driven this stock substantially higher. And if you look at valuations, I think they still look quite compelling, even though on paper it might look quite expensive, especially for investors who are looking perhaps for a long-term investment. So if you look at a chart here for Shopify, we recently broke out above a major resistance level at 68, and also the 200-day moving average just yesterday. So initially our upside target on the breakout of that 200-day moving average is 75, even though we're just actually today just about to reach that upside target, initial upside target. But the upside target above that really puts us into the low 80s. And that's, based on the momentum that we recently see here on Shopify, I think that we can get there actually fairly quickly. But more importantly, when you look at the business here, on paper, this stock looks quite expensive from a traditional PE ratio perspective. But you have to remember, Shopify is just turning profitable. And I think PE ratios are not the best measure here for valuations. When we look at kind of enterprise value to sales, we're trading at about 25, 30% premium relative to its peers. But if you looked at the growth metrics of Shopify, we're talking head and shoulders above their peers. Revenue, that's more than double what the industry is expected to do. Their EPS growth is nearly 7, 8 times what the industry is expected to do. So when you look at the fact that margins, even though they are just newly profitable, are in line with the industry, and their growth rates are so much higher than the rest of the industry, the fact that they only traded about a 25% premium relative to its peers, I think is actually reflective of the fact that valuations are still quite inexpensive for Shopify. So I think that when you look at the technical breakout here, you look at the sheer momentum that we've seen here with the valuations that look quite compelling, I think there's substantial upside here for Shopify. So the trade structure that I want to use here reflects the fact that options are relatively inexpensive for Shopify. So I want to be buying options in this particular example, in this particular scenario, especially given the fact that vols across the board have come in substantially. So I'm going out to the October expiration. I'm looking at buying the $75 call, which is the at-the-money call option, and selling the $85 call. Against that net net earlier today, you can pay roughly about $3.20 for that debit spread, which risks $320 per contract for this particular trade, giving you over a 2-to-1 risk reward ratio if Shopify does reach $85 or higher by that October expiration, with a maximum profit potential of about $680 per contract if Shopify reaches 85 or higher. And the goal here is to take advantage of the short-term momentum, the momentum off of that earnings from a couple of weeks ago, and looking for this to continue to outperform the markets as it has over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, Tony, thank you. The structures were very well laid out. Obviously, a bullish trade idea, looking for continuation higher in the stock. Kind of maybe going and filling in that gap that the stock left behind off of its own earnings announcement a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, excuse me, on the 8th of May, to be exact. I'm curious, Tony, this is a trade structure that has defined risk. It's a debit spread, a vertical call spread here. In terms of the risk management on this particular strategy, I'm curious if the stock does start getting back below its 200-day moving average, or it gets below that area that you've identified as was potential resistance, now could be acting as support around 68. Are those the spots where you would be looking to manage risk in this trade idea, even though it is defined risk?
Yeah, absolutely. Just because a strategy has defined risk doesn't mean that you shouldn't look at managing risk, right? Especially with these types of debit spreads, or if you're just long a call or a put, the rules, generally speaking, are the same, which is the fact that Because you're paying for time decay, or the time decay is working against you, the rule of thumb is that if you lose more than 50% of the premium that you've paid for the trade, so if I'm paying $3.20 here, if you lose more than $1.60, roughly half of the premium that you pay, it's usually time to consider managing the trade. Because if you lose 50% of the premium on a debit like this, chances are the trade is not working out the way that you expect it to, certainly not in the time frame that you're expecting it to. So I usually think of it from the option pricing perspective as to when you manage risk, but you bring up a really good point, because the thesis on this trade is based on technicals, the fact that we've broken out above a major resistance level and you're looking for it to continue higher. If it breaks below that support level, that 200-day moving average and the $68 support level that I refer to, if it breaks below those levels and we haven't lost 50% of the premium that we paid on this debit spread, that's also a good reason to consider managing this trade. So if you find yourself down 40% on the trade, but your thesis is no longer correct, you should consider closing out the trade and saving the rest of the premium that is left in that trade for the next trade. You might end up rolling the trade out to a longer time frame, or maybe adjusting your strike prices. Whatever you choose to do, you should still manage that trade regardless.
Thank you for these key lessons here, Tony. Appreciate it very much. Let's take a look at the second trade idea that you're bringing to the table today.
Yeah, the second trade idea I want to take a look at here is Oracle. I would say over the past year or so, we've talked heavily about AI as a theme and different winners of that specific theme. And I want to take a look at Oracle because they are certainly one of the firms that are leaders in this particular, or rather investors in this particular theme. However, the fact that they've invested so heavily in AI, there's just some concerns around from investors right now as to whether or not those investments will pay off in the future. And if you look at firms like Oracle that have relatively high valuations and pretty stiff competition in this particular space, I think there are some downside risks starting to emerge with some of these AI-related trades. So if you look at the stock here for a chart here of Oracle, you see that it recently broke down below a pretty key level, 135, as support. And now we're trading right back up to that level as resistance. Just today, we managed to break slightly above that level. But notice the hesitation, the price action as we kind of broke above it. It's not as strong as the rest of the market that has been resoundingly bullish. Oracle is looking quite weak in terms of the price action, and I think that reflects the fact that buyers are perhaps not as bullish on this particular stock as some of the other AI-related plays, especially when you consider the fact that momentum remains negative here on Oracle. I think that that means that we could see some further downside, especially as we trade up against this major resistance level. And then when you look at the valuations, Oracle trades at 30 times forward earnings. That's a pretty hefty a premium to its historical average of about 20 times forward earnings. And that's a sign that that the valuations here are difficult to wrap your heads around, especially given the fact that the potential for future revenue from AI is still at this point quite uncertain. Even with the big names that are, I would say, leaders in this particular space, like Meta or Amazon, as far as how much revenue they'll be able to generate, many of these companies are estimating tens of billions of dollars a year in additional revenue, some of them looking at closer to $100 billion of additional revenue a year from these types of services. It's very unclear as to whether or not we're really going to get there. And when you have companies like Oracle up against some of those big giants, they really don't at this point feel like they are leaders in this particular space, especially if you see some of the recent moderations in terms of new contracts that are signing for these AI servers that Oracle builds out. X.com recently just canceled their $10 billion contract with Oracle. It really speaks to the fact that there's still a lot of uncertainty around how much companies are going to spend in terms of building out AI infrastructure that Oracle predominantly generates their revenue off of. So those are the risks that I see, and I think that there could be some downside risks. So the trade structure that I want to use is very similar to the one I'm using on Shopify, but I'm going to take a bearish view here for Oracle. I'm going out to the same October monthly expiration, and I'm looking at buying that 135 put, which is the at-the-money put option, and I'm selling a 125 put against that. And this is because Oracle options are very expensive, and I think it's important to sell options to offset the price of buying that long call, long put option in this particular case. Net net earlier today, you could pay roughly also about $3.20 for this $10 wide debit spread on Oracle. This risks a total of $320 per contract and has the same $680 profit potential, the same one we had on Shopify, which gives you a little over a 2-to-1 risk reward ratio if Oracle is below 125 by options expiration in October. We're talking about basically revisiting the lows from a few weeks ago on Oracle. If that happens by October expiration, we're looking at about a 2-to-1 risk reward ratio on this trade.
Yeah, Tony, a couple of things of note, I think, for the clients looking to take this trade and agree with your thesis. Oracle does or is expected to report earnings at this moment on September 9th, which would be a binary event. The expiration selection of choice for Tony here is October, so that trade would live through the binary event. Be aware of that. I would also like to point out that the bid-ask spreads on options in this particular name could be at times wider than many of other single stock tech names that are mentioned as trade ideas. And all that means is that if you're taking this trade or you're trying to put it on, be prudent about entertaining a limit order. Put in a limit that you're willing to pay for this particular spread when you're executing the strategy. Finally, Tony, we have a look back at a trade that came in very quickly. Talk to us about what's going on.
Yeah, last week, in the midst of all that volatility, we were looking at selling put options on Nvidia. We sold the September 6 $90 puts for about $4.50 at the time. That's now trading as low as 60 cents at the moment. So I think for investors, the first option is to simply buy back these put options, take the profits on this particular trade, and move on to the next trade if you no longer necessarily have a strong bullish thesis on Nvidia. But if you feel that there's still opportunities for Nvidia, especially for the long run, and you're interested in potentially also acquiring the stock, I think one thing that you could do is roll this up and out to the September 13th 115 strike for Nvidia. This now collects another roughly $5.10 net net. You're going to collect about a $4.50 credit to roll this up and out to that September 13th 115 put option, which means that if you were to roll it up, you would have the obligation to buy the stock at 115, I'm sorry, buy the stock if Nvidia is below 115 by the September 13th expiration date. But if you consider the premium that you collected between last week and on this one, roughly comes out to be about $9. You know, you're looking at a pretty substantial discount on the stock purchase. You know, your effective purchase price on Nvidia, if it's below 115, will be around 106 on the stock. So the fact that the stock's trading at 120, you know, that reflects a pretty significant discount to the current price that Nvidia is trading at right now, with just a modest pullback if it does happen by that September 13th expiration.
Yeah, Tony, big winner in a very short period of time. Obviously, still a binary event for Nvidia coming up as well, its own earnings announcement coming up at the end of August. So, something to look forward to for our audience members. I want to thank you, Tony, for bringing us new and interesting trade ideas every single week. This was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, KV. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget, Trading Strategy Desk at Fidelity Investments does an in-the-money follow-up show every single Friday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that particular coaching session by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. And we also have an active investor newsletter available to you all. You can subscribe to it by going to fidelity.com/active-investor-weekly. We'll see you again next week. Take care, everybody. Until then.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade.
Foreign investments involve greater risks than U.S. investments, including political and economic risks, and the risk of currency fluctuations, all of which may be magnified in emerging markets.
Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.
Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.